The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Great to be chatting again, Rolene. Are you well this afternoon?
I'm very good, but let me tell you something. I haven't heard Rutsi Shmulik in about 70 billion years.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got terrible feedback, but I don't know if that's because I'm broadcasting from home or not. But it just shows how old we are, Rolene, that we even know Rutsi Shmulik. Let's get on to the serious stuff and talk about the very disappointing reaction by the South African government to Israel being granted observer status at the African Union.
Well, this is just astounding. This was a statement coming from Durko earlier today saying that they are, quote unquote, appalled by the decision of the African Union to let Israel in, albeit as an observer. I mean, this is the same government who thought that the signing of the Abraham Accords was also appalling. You know, one has to wonder, where is South Africa on the global stage? Because country after country is waking up to the fact that, first of all, it doesn't pay to take sides in this conflict. All that does is imports the conflict into your own country. And also that if you want to be any kind of broker for peace, you want to be engaged with both sides. And country after country across the African continent is waking up to what Israel can do to help them. They are realizing, why should we take sides between Israel and the Palestinians? Also, it seems that Durko seemed to have missed the memo where high-level Israeli officials are starting to speak to the Palestinian leadership and overtures are being made. So one has to ask South Africa, with the history of conflict resolution inside the country, the history of South Africa taking two brave leaders to come together and sit and have those uncomfortable discussions, why South Africa wants to take this kind of stance. I'll just read you a little bit from the statement. It says, the government of South Africa is appalled at the unjust and unwarranted decision of the AU Commission to grant Israel observer status in the African Union. The African Union Commission has taken this decision unilaterally without consultation with its members. The decision to grant Israel observer status is even more shocking in a year which the oppressed people of Palestine were hounded by destructive bombardments and continued illegal settlements of the land. Obviously, they forgot about the 4,300 plus rockets that came flying towards Israel, many of those also landing short in the Gaza Strip. The African Union strenuously objected to the deaths of Palestinians, obviously not the deaths of Israelis as well, and the destruction of civilian infrastructure, also not the destruction of Israeli infrastructure as well. And this puts South Africa in the unenviable and unedifying position of really taking itself more and more backwards away from developing and developed nations who are learning about how Israel contributes to the world and how we can all benefit as the family of nations by having good bilateral ties between each other. And South Africa, by demonstrating this horrendous kind of bias, has said that Israel does not belong with the family of nations. Really, really appalling for a country that at its heart has a constitution that speaks about equality for all.
And kind of related to that somewhat, Rolene, is the issue of Human Rights Watch, their dangerous obsession with Israel, and they seem absolutely intent on finding Israel guilty of war crimes, despite the fact that it appears to me that Israel did absolutely everything possible to minimize civilian casualties.
Well, not only that, is we're starting to see what looks like some kind of ramped up campaign of hatred against the Jewish state coming from Human Rights Watch. There was the report on Israel being accused of practicing apartheid that was roundly dismissed and the claims debunked, including their self-made definition of apartheid, which I don't need to tell many of your listeners in South Africa, had nothing to do with the South African experience, which is unique to South Africa. We have Ken Roth, who spends a good part of his day just tweeting about Israel. We now have subsequently found out through a lawyer like Eugene Kantorovich that Omar Shakir, who was kicked out of Israel because of his anti-Israel and pro-BDS activities, was pushing not only for that report, but was also advising Ben and Jerry's, the sole advisor, notably absent from the list of advisors were any Jewish advisors. We'll speak about Anuradha Mittal, the chairman of the board, in a second. And now we have this report from Human Rights Watch, which a number of NGOs and the IDF have said all they're trying to do, and I'm going to quote from the IDF directly, the IDF say, we regret that the HRW chooses to recycle claims already disproved instead of condemning the blatant violations of international law by Hamas and other terror organizations, such as carrying out military operations from civilian areas, including mosques, schools, and hospitals, and firing indiscriminately at the Israeli civilian population. And we've heard from them. We've heard from organizations like Honest Reporting, who are keeping a very, very close eye on what Ken Roth and what Human Rights Watch are putting out. And I urge you all to go onto their website and read a report that says Human Rights Watch peddles war crimes accusations in biased anti-Israel report.
Raylene, it's almost as if something sinister is going on. It's almost as if they're setting the scene for a much bigger concerted campaign against Israel, using their reports to then delegitimize, boycott, sanction, divest, etc. I mean, would my reading be correct, or you think I'm just paranoid?
That is the same assessment that I have made as well. They are pushing and pushing this apartheid canard. They are pushing and pushing the human rights abusers. They definitely have some kind of agenda that they are pushing to the detriment of other conflicts around the world. I wish Ken Roth would spend the majority of his day tweeting about Biafra or the Uyghur people in China. Or Syria, or Eritrea, or Ethiopia, or Nigeria, or places all over the world where there are gross human rights violations being committed. However, they have chosen not only to focus specifically on Israel, but deny the Israeli people their experience of being the intended victims and the victims and the targets of the war crimes that are fired at us and that are contained in the founding documents of organizations like Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad.
And somebody buying into this narrative, Anuradha Mittal, claims she's not anti-Semitic, though. She's the chair of Ben & Jerry's.
She is the chairman of the board of Ben & Jerry's, and if she's listening, you know, by some chance, because I don't really ever know who listens to us, you know, this would be a good opportunity that when she is challenged by organizations like Combat Anti-Semitism and by international lawyers and by Jewish voices, not to block them. In her Twitter profile, she calls herself a defender of indigenous rights, obviously not the indigenous rights of the Jewish people, but she says she's been subject to vile abuse. And while there are many who can't draw the line to make their arguments based cogently and on facts and do get abusive, the majority of people that have been speaking to her are trying to get her to understand or at least hear the Jewish voice, which she just summarily blocks. And this is ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. So she says she's not an anti-Semite, but we, the Jewish people, will determine what we see as anti-Semitism, and we determine her to be a anti-Semite.
Right, if you need to hop a minute out of the news, then so be it. But the next issue is important. It's about the Olympics. It's about the fact that the IOC is concerned about forfeits. And the like, just weigh in on this Olympic issue.
Well, this is very, very interesting. The International Olympic Committee have said that they are very, very concerned by the forfeits to of judokas. And it's always interesting that it's in judo, Simon, to face their Israeli opponents. Now, the International Judo Federation takes these forfeits very, very seriously and just withdraws the accreditation of these athletes and their coaches. And James McLeod, who is the IOC Director of Solidarity, says, obviously the IOC is always concerned in these cases and is monitoring very closely. If there are flagrant abuses of the Olympic Charter, the IOC will take all necessary measures in that respect. He goes on to say they took very prompt action to remove the athlete from the coach and the team and send them home. It's not within the spirit of what the Olympics is all about. However, we do have a Saudi judoka who will face down against her Israeli counterpart later this day, and they are going to take it to the mat, and may the best woman win.
Ah, oh, fantastic, Rolene. That's awesome. And I will look out for that. Thank you as always. And it's still 5:30, so you're a double superstar today. We'll chat again tomorrow, Ro.
Give me an Olympic medal, Simon.